Please state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn Check. Dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media Station.
Are we on the air?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Our number two of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know, it's a party, and it's going to be August 15th. It's the LAP. The listener appreciation party. So if you're looking to dance or lap dance, so to speak, with the peeps.
For Barry.
Yes. Barry has gone way
Women
past.
Only.
Barry has graduated from the hug. He would now like the listener appreciation party to be a lap dance festival.
Females only.
Brittany will be number one in
line.
No,
thank you.
With a body check and a shot to the chin.
Remind me to tell you the story that relates to that.
Okay. So with that being said about the listener appreciation party coming up, we do want to be fair to the streamers. So during this hour, we are going to give away two tickets to the party. Barry, you pick the time.
Okay.
And then that's it. Once you hear the time that we're going to do it, that's it. You have to keep an eye on the clock, know when we're going to do it, start calling when it hits that time, and then we go.
Okay. 1:58.
Okay, now pick a time that's actually in the future, not in the past.
Oh, dang it. You said I could pick a time.
Look, Marty, or let's just get the right time.
I wanted to see people be like, what? How do you go? How? All right, let's do it at 2:35.
At 2:35, caller number 20.
There you go.
Caller number 20 at 2:35. You get two tickets to the ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map Listener Appreciation Party for 2019. It's going to be held right up here in the offices. You get to see the studios and where Sports Map is and all of the different layout here up at Gal Media. Again, August the 15th, 6:30 p.m. is the start time. Going to be food provided by Big City Wings, drinks provided by Coors Light. Going to be a lot of fun, and we're all going to be there to hang out with you guys, the peeps, to thank you and hang out because we appreciate you making us the number one sports station in town. So the only way to get an invite is to listen and win. Make sure you keep listening all week. You must be 21 plus to attend. Invitation only, so good luck. Again, 2:35, caller 20, you get two tickets.
Go get them. You mentioned,
couple more news of the day moments real quick. Mm-hmm. Ken Rosenthal reporting the Brewers have acquired right-handed pitcher Jordan Lyles from the Pirates, a one-time Astros prospect. So there's another pitcher off the board if you're keeping score with a team that desperately needed starting pitching in the Brewers. And then this strange one out of the NFL, the Dolphins have fired offensive line coach Pat Flaherty and promoted analyst, Dave DiGuglielmo.
Oh, boy, that sounded accurate.
Well, you try it. Dave DiGuglielmo is going from analyst to offensive line coach. Flaherty struggled to implement the new system. It's been an issue since the spring. That's why the change was made. You've been in camp for 4 days. How freaking bad do you have to be?
Yeah, that's not good. That's like getting fired on your day off, like on Friday. Like, bro, you're not even really into, you don't even know how good or bad the line is yet.
Brian Flores comes over from the Patriots and is screaming, hey, Pat, the tackles go on the outside. The guards go on the inside. Can you get the line to line up right? The center has got the name for a reason. He's in the middle. The hell are you doing? And after about the fourth day of practice, you're like, that's it. Get out.
Get out.
I don't care. Take the analyst. He can do a better job.
That's
what
outstanding.
Are you doing?
He's not grasping the offense. Golly.
It's awful. When there's something to put on a resume. I was the offensive line coach for the Dolphins.
For 4 days.
But if you want to hire me, I can do wonders.
What happened? Why'd you get let go? I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm stupid. There's no
Who
other reason.
Who replaced you? An experience like Coach Zuerlein? No, an analyst. He was a number cruncher, but boy, could he get down in the trenches when he had to.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good look for the Dolphins.
That's outstanding. Their season's already in turmoil, and it hasn't even started.
That's terrible.
Speaking of that, by the way, just news out of Bengals camp, A.J. Green got injured, and that's not looking good.
I saw that.
Yep. So keep your eye on that.
Where are you
Did
on
you
that
see
too?
Their winning percentage with and without him? And since he's been with them, when he plays, they win 60% of their games. When he doesn't play, they win 32% or 30% or something like that. It's completely different.
Better obviously. Find a replacement.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like is that everybody then starts grasping for excuses, okay? Because one, Green said, you know, he wanted to play all 16 games. And he still might. He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It sounds worse than it is when he says he's got a ligament tear in his ankle. But the bottom line is any kind of a sprain is considered a tear. But when you look at the play, I mean, he got rolled up rolled up over his ankle going stride for stride with a defensive back. But then they said the Bengals had one day of practice. I think it was at the University of Dayton. But it was because the first NFL game ever was played in Dayton. So they wanted to do a day of it, celebrate on the 100-year anniversary of the league this year, you know, do a little, have some fun. The Bengals alumni and some of the old players like, I'm really looking forward to this because, you know, it is a part of NFL history. Let's do all this. And then the minute an injury pops up, the field wasn't safe to be played on. It was treacherous. The guy shouldn't have been put through all that. Then you got some of the guys on the Bengals coming out going, yeah, man, I wasn't even going to make a cut on that field. I wasn't going to risk it. I'm like, you know what? If everybody comes out of that thing healthy, no one says a word.
And the coach pretty much said that. He was like, look, it was weird the way he landed. It was a freak thing. This field is fine.
Yeah.
So, but then you do have players that are like, no, it wasn't.
That's the bigger thing. When you're looking at, you know, again, and a lot of, remember the turf at the Dome?
Oh, yeah.
With the Oilers and all of that. And it was one of the games was actually canceled because of it.
Clowney's injury.
And then what's his name? Sued the linebacker from Alabama that was used to be from with the Texans, went to the Eagles.
Was it Ryans? D'Amico Ryans?
D'Amico Ryans. Yeah. And blew his Achilles and wanted to sue because of the turf.
Yep.
So there's been turf issues in the past. But, you know, I mean, one practice at a priest. And let's be honest, like you were talking about, if they're in shells or they're just running through in scrimmaging routes and things like that.
Yeah.
It's I'm not going to go that far as to blame the field.
Yeah, if everybody else, I mean, if you had two or three of those, but it did look like he landed weird.
He got rolled over, problem. Essentially. Yeah, the defensive back was falling down as he was striding for the ball, and he ended up the D-back rolled into the path of him finishing the play, and it got tucked underneath. Yeah. So, you know, that's one of those things that happens.
What you gonna do?
Right. So you wanted to get some other things.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about lap dances.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Brittany, who was the chick at the party that kept punching everybody.
The bully papa shot.
Yeah. And that reminded me, if you have kids in the car, you probably change the channel till the next segment. To come back at 2:14. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. You've been warned. It reminded me of, now I was single at the time. Mm-hmm. But I was traveling on the road, and I was in Miami, Florida, and we went to a strip club.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a weird strip club from the get-go. You pulled up, and there was like this old black Cadillac that was all shot up, like gangster style. Mm. So like the theme of the strip club was like a gangster movie or whatever, right? So at first you pulled up and you weren't sure what was going on. Like at first I was like, oh my God, is that real? And then they were like, oh no, it's part of the motif or whatever. It's like, do we really need a strip club with a motif? But okay. So we go to the strip club. Now, two firsts happened. This was the first time that I had ever seen anyone twerking. This was a long time ago. But I remember distinctly what happened because we were sitting there talking, just hanging out, drinking, and then it got quiet, and then all you heard was one person just clapping, and I was like, what's happened? Like, did somebody do something? And I looked up, and it was the stripper making her booty make that noise, and I was like, oh, that's impressive. That is a gift. You have a gift, and you know God has blessed you.
It should be the gift that keeps on giving.
God has blessed you. So then this Russian stripper, this chick from Russia. Now, I already have one. I've already told the one story about the amateur in Canada, right?
Yes.
That used the fur coat to baseball slide on stage.
Yes.
So this Russian stripper comes up and she starts talking and she's like, oh, do you want it? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm fine. I'm cheap when I go to strip clubs. I can go with a 20 and leave with 15 bucks. Like, I'm cheap. So she's like, you want to dance? I'm like, no. She's like, oh, come on, baby. First one's free. I'm like, oh, no, it's cool. This ain't crack. Like, you're not a drug dealer. She's like, no. So then she just starts dancing, right? And I'm like, all right, whatever. And she starts getting like aggressive, like Britney then. That's what reminded me. Like, she pushed me. I was like, oh, okay, that was weird. And she's like, ah, and she kept pushing me on my shoulders, right? And I was like, okay, this is crossing a boundary here. I don't know that I like this. And then right in the middle of the song, she turns around and punches me in the junk.
Oh, no way.
And I was like, yo, why did you do that? And she starts laughing, and everybody I'm with starts laughing. And I was like, oh, my God, that was so aggressive. Why did you do that? And she was like, I'm just teasing. I was like, oh, wow, that was so weird. Like, no, like 15 seconds later, she does this little move again. Bow! Punch me in the junk again. Now I'm getting mad. I'm like, I will fight you, woman. I will fight you if you do that again. And she hit me again. I have never in my
life.
Like
hard?
Dude, like, I'm talking rare back and punch you in the balls. I don't know why. I don't know if that was a turn on for her. But I was like, I am not paying for this, first of all.
You should have said you owe me 20 for every punch.
I am not paying for this. But whose move is that? Like, whose move is to punch you in the junk? It just made no sense to me. I was like, can you go somewhere else and do that to somebody that might like it? Because this hurts.
That's crazy.
It was the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me. At a strip club. I've never in my life been punched in the junk 3 times in a row. And she laughed every time. And of course, all my buddies are dying laughing. And I'm pissed.
I would be too.
I was like, this is not okay. I'm like, oh, having a Me Too moment. No, this is not all right. It was weird. That reminded me of that, though. I was like, boy, I totally forgot about that story. I blocked it out.
You know why you shouldn't have told that till August the 16th?
Why?
Because at the listener appreciation party.
I'm telling you right now, first person to punch
me. Someone might punch you in the junk.
First person to punch me in the balls is getting carted out on a stretcher. I promise you that. I don't care. I don't care if I'm at work.
I could see Nick having a few and going, hey, you remember when Barry talked about that? If you just walk up, punch him in the...
Yeah, do that. See how that goes.
Forget the knockoff t-shirts. It's punch him in the junk tonight.
Yeah, see how that goes.
At the listener appreciation
party. Don't be surprised
party.
If you're looking the other way talking to somebody, you get hit in the back of the head with a chair. Yeah, do that one time. See how it goes.
Hey, WWE broke out in the middle of a listener party. Right. All right. We're just rolling through hour number two of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. We got a whole bunch going on, and if you want to throw something out there, it's been on your mind for a while, and you want to talk about it, Texans, Astros, Rockets, whatever the case may be, we're here for you. Happy to do it if we can help out and oblige. Before we head to the break, do want to tell you about the good people at BestHotelRates.com.
Yeah, let's talk travel. Let's do that. You said talk sports. Let's talk travel for a minute. Most of us travel at least once a year, if not more. How are you booking your hotels? I've got a suggestion. Check out BestHotelRates.com. They've negotiated rates, check this out, 600,000 hotels worldwide that they have negotiated special rates for, and they're going to extend those discounts to you, but you're not going to get them if you don't log on to BestHotelRates.com. It's super easy. Plug in your destination, the dates of travel. After that, you get the discounted rates, and it's probably a place you were going to stay anyways. So why not save a little scratch when you do it? BestHotelRates.com, they have customer service that can't be beat. It backs up your reservations. Your stay is safe. It's secure. You don't have to worry about anything except having fun or getting business done on your trip. It's in the name. It's BestHotelRates.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two continues on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Monday. Did want to get to this as well because we had mentioned the starting pitching that's out there is less than stellar in terms of a market, but that teams are obviously still kicking the tires. We heard that Mad Bum was off the market for the Giants, and the Giants have been red hot. So when you, Barry, we're talking about hot teams, obviously in the American League, you can talk about the Indians, you can talk about the Astros. But in the National League, the Giants have gotten back into the playoff picture, therefore Mad Bum off the market. But then another guy that was on and now off is Trevor Bauer, but he gave up 7 earned runs yesterday, and he was struggling. And if you missed it, as Terry Francona called for time as he was coming out to get the ball from Bauer, Bauer just turns and hurls it into the batter's eye over the center field wall.
And not like, it was impressive.
Now we know why he was practicing that running start to see how hard you can throw it crap in the offseason.
It was impressive that from the standing, from the mound.
I want the exit velo on that thing and the launch angle. Because that bad boy got out of here in a hurry.
Dude, if they had any kind of, that would have been perfect on the, if StatCast would have done that.
Blummer would have had a field day with
that.
Oh
my God, yeah, that's so funny. It would have been great. My favorite part of the video, if you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. Two parts stood out to me. One, when he turns around to heave the ball, his second baseman, what's his name?
Kipnis?
Yeah. He ducks like Bauer's going to throw it at him. He jumps. I was like, oh, Six got scary right there. That's not good at all. And then the other part was when Terry Francona comes out to get him.
Oh, man.
You can see him go, what the bleep are you doing? Why the bleep did you throw that? Like, you can clearly see him mouth those words.
Yep.
It was Freeman, by the way, that was in the game, I think. Yeah, it was Freeman. Mike Freeman was in at second base. And you can clearly see him say that. Why the F did you throw that? And then, of course, Bauer's like, my bad, Skip.
It wasn't you. It wasn't the team.
Yeah, I'm just upset. He goes, get your ass in there, and we're going to talk about this. And sure enough, you saw him go down the tunnel.
Went right down the tunnel.
Boy, he got chewed out. I'm like, he's a grown-ass man. He got himself in trouble.
Now, to his credit, after the game, before he addressed any questions from the media, he did own it. He apologized for it. He said that was on him, and he needs to do better for his teammates and manager and organization. But with that, you kind of got to think in the back of your mind, did he do that so that maybe he could get himself out back on the block?
It's a bad way to do it when you show an attitude like that.
Shown you there's a bad way to do?
Yeah, that's true, and he's really not had a good go of it in July. He's lost 3 of his last 4 outings. He's given up a total of 13 runs in those 4 outings. So, not ideal.
Astros, again, you and I are talking about this in the break, but the biggest thing to me is the Astros have beaten him in the playoffs before. They're not scared of him. They handle him just fine. Obviously, he's an above-average pitcher, but I don't think he's the kind of pitcher that puts fear in the hearts of any Astros hitters, especially if they have a healthy lineup.
Right. He's not been the same Trevor Bauer that we expected. You know, his March and April, he got off to a great start. May was not good. I think he didn't win in the month of May. He had 4 losses in May. And bounced back in June, but then now his July, he's teetering a little bit. He's not been awful, but he's not been great.
And this is going into
the trade deadline. But now, you know, Cleveland is bouncing back, and they're looking like they're probably going to catch the Twins now.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I know. So it's interesting, you know, does he want to be – I don't think he cares at the end of the day where he's at because of what you had mentioned a long time ago that we keep mentioning on the show is that he's going to test the free agent market. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
And he said, I want to finish my career on 1-year deals. Yeah. I want to prove myself every year.
I don't know how much he meant that, though, but he's got this year and next year, and then that's his 4th year of arbitration, and then he can go out and do what he wants to do. So any team that gets him, if he gets moved, is getting Bauer for the rest of this year and next year.
Right.
And then he becomes a free agent. So, you know, was he doing it on purpose? I don't know. But there's certainly other ways to get attention. I think he was just very, very frustrated. And really, a lot of that inning was not his fault. If you saw the whole inning.
I did. But the thing is, it's just a childish way to go about your business. I mean, you're on a national stage. You're a professional athlete. And you know what? even if it means going down to the clubhouse with a bat and beating the hell out of a Gatorade cooler or something like that. But you don't do something like that. I mean, obviously there's all these unwritten rules we've talked about in baseball and the do's and the don'ts. But you're disrespecting the game when you show up. And regardless of whether you said you didn't mean it or not, you show up your manager and your entire team when you do something like that.
What did it remind you of anything?
I don't know what you're going at.
It reminded me of Barkley. When he was here and heaved the basket. Was he here when he heaved the basketball into the stands?
I don't know that I remember that.
I think it was here. He was a Rocket. And I think he chunked the ball into the stands and got almost made it to the second level.
I think he might have punted it.
Did he? I just know it was Barkley and the basketball, and it ended up in the stands. And not just, here, let me hand it to this guy in the front row. It was almost like it was shot out of a T-shirt cannon. But yeah, that's what it reminded me of. As soon as I saw it, I was like, "Ooh, he's big mad." There's mad, and then there's big mad, and he was big mad. But hey, you know what? At least he owned it in the locker room. That's the saving grace of all of it.
Yep,
as he was mature enough at that point and man enough at that point to own it and not run from it.
No doubt about it. If you own it and don't run from it, you know that the best station to be listening to for sports morning, noon, and night is ESPN 97.5. We're a part of that process, and we're going to continue with the second half of the show in just a few minutes. Also, a quick reminder, at 2:35, with no advanced warning and no, hey, call now prompt, at 2:35, start dialing your phone because 713-780-3776 is going to give you the opportunity to win two tickets to our listener appreciation party on the 15th of August. Always a good time. We interact with all of you, show you around the digs here at Gow Media and have some fun. You should be there. The only way to win, the only way to get in is to win. So 2:35 for that. Back with the second half of the show in mere moments right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, but 90 still to go. So good news for you wherever you're listening to the show. Somewhere in the city, work, pleasure, whatever the case, it's hot out there, people.
The hot.
It is hot. It is hot, baby. Hot. And I don't mean like, you know, top of the charts. I'm talking about sweaty. It's terrible. Oh, my God. It's killing me. So Nick was out at training camp if you missed any of the show. So he was checking out everything at Texans camp to give us a position-by-position battle, depth chart, and what to expect in the joint practices with the Green Bay Packers next week.
They give you a list of players at the door of all the people, all the players on the field.
Okay.
Probably don't know 50% of them, 60% of them.
It's good news because probably 50 to 60% of them won't be with the team.
Absolutely.
In a few weeks.
Well, how do they list them? Is it just alphabetical order by number or
it's
by
alphabetical
position?
Order? And then they list their number to the side. That way you can tell
who you're watching.
Yeah.
So they don't list it by depth chart or position battles or any of that stuff.
Not the piece of paper the way I saw it on that piece of paper, it's specifically alphabetical order. And then they put the number on the side.
Gotcha.
You would think that they would do just numerical because people are going to go, oh, did you see the play that 27 just made? Who's that? Well, let me go check.
Right.
As opposed to going, oh, that's Ishwabanon. Let me see what number he wears.
That's what I thought when I was looking at the paper. I was like, it's harder for me. I'd rather you just put the numbers in order when the list is that big, and then that way I could
see that.
Reference it that way, but
that would make sense.
By the way, Chris on Twitter said the caption I saw on the Trevor Bauer.
Video,
Tyler, it's a joke.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Was Angel Hernandez called that a strike?
That's so funny.
That's fantastic.
So funny.
Did you see him yesterday? I think it was yesterday, too. Was it Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox stud? He was up there. They were down like 7 runs, but they had a guy on. It was like the 9th inning. And there was a 3-2 pitch that literally dove down off the corner, wasn't even close, and Angel Hernandez rang him up, and it was just like, oh my God, he just doesn't stop.
No, he's so bad. I don't understand
how MLB doesn't do something to take action is just beyond
me. He's got him by the...
By the way, another shout out to our good friend Ashton, who's listening. He thought we might be interested in the most NFL dead cap money for this coming season. Good news if you're a Texans fan. 30th out of 32 teams, just $1.7 million.
Oh.
So that's pretty good. Number one, those Miami Dolphins. It's not just on the offensive line with the coaching staff. $37.5 million.
Dead cap money?
Yeah.
Whoo, somebody mismanaged that.
A whole lot of money. Giants second at 33.7, and the Cardinals, Steelers, and Ravens. Steelers a little surprising.
That is
because they normally are pretty good about how they handle things in the front office.
Somebody texted the show and says, "See that whole Trevor Bauer thing? That's how you know the balls are juiced."
And then someone else, speaking of your balls being juiced, Julian Rodriguez sent out
the GIF.
I reached hitting the coconuts.
I retweeted that. That's pretty damn funny. Yeah. Somebody asked on the text line, who is the best to follow on Twitter for breaking baseball news? I'm kind of partial to just following MLB trade rumors on Twitter.
I'm going to say Jeff Passan.
I'm going to say Ken Rosenthal.
Rosenthal's probably the best, but I like MLB trade rumors because it's kind of a hodgepodge, and I don't know. I think Rosenthal is probably the Woj of baseball.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
Peter Gammons used to be up there.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
Yeah, Peter was the man for a long time, but I don't know, like guys like Richard Justice are good baseball writers nationally, but I don't know that they do a lot of breaking news.
Passan's good. Rosenthal's good. Buster Olney is more about what's going on with teams. He's in tune with the trade rumors, but I don't think to the degree that Rosenthal and Passan.
Yeah, if you're just looking locally, like who might get the scoop locally first, Chandler Rome is a good follow. He's the beat writer for the Chronicle.
Ryan McTaggart.
And, well, I would have said Jake Kaplan.
And those I was going to say guys, those three.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Kaplan and Rome beat McTaggart a lot of times to the punch, and maybe I'm wrong on that. Okay. But those are three names that for sure that you can follow. Mm-hmm. So
there you have it. Keep in contact with whoever you follow, simply because when you look at it, the deadline being 3:00 Eastern on Wednesday, you hope that there's going to be a lot of movement between now and then. And because of, like Barry said, once that first move closer to the deadline happens, it's like a domino effect, and people start really getting into things. The Brewers just traded for Jordan Lyles, so they got a starter. If that's a sign, I would look for activity to be heating up pretty good here in the next 24
hours. And we talked earlier about the Mets going out and getting Marcus Stroman, and hopefully what you said is the case, like, you know, that they're looking to move him and Syndergaard, because it's weird. Last week it was we heard that, and I think it was actually Jake Kaplan reported that two names were off the market. That his sources were saying two names were off the market. One was Mad Bum, and the other one was Syndergaard. And so DeGrom became the hot name to discuss here locally. And then you find out that now that's not the case. The Syndergaard is actually being shopped and discussed. And so things, you know, can change a lot. Wheeler has always kind of been on the table. But now the Mets are talking with the Red Sox about moving Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
Are you buyers or sellers, Mets? That's the troubling and perplexing thing about this. Are they buyers or are they sellers? Or, like you said, are they playing chess? Mm-hmm. Are they out there? You got Stroman for basically peanuts.
Yeah, I agree.
So if they do flip him, then they're on the right track for a rebuild. Good for them.
Now, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay.
All right, because we know that Luno is very much steadfast in the belief that he doesn't want to give up both of his prospects, and in order to give up one of them, it's going to have to be a hell of a move. Are you entertaining a deal with the Mets to give up both Whitley and Tucker if your return on it is Syndergaard and Stroman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They would never do that.
But I'm saying that's not the end-all, be-all. That headlining a package to get those two guys, because they're saying there's a possibility they move both of them. Could the Astros come up with a package starting with Whitley and Tucker?
I don't think that there would be. You would have to include
probably. Jordan's untouchable, is he not?
Right
now? I think so, too.
I mean, you would have to send Whitley, Bukowskis, Tucker, probably
maybe Corbin Martin.
Well, but
even
you're
coming off Tommy John.
I mean, you're probably going to have to send guys that are up here already. Miles Straw. You're going to have to. I mean, you're going to have to send a boatload of prospects and major league talent to the Mets for two of those guys, much less one of them.
Can you imagine getting those two guys?
Game over.
Yep.
I mean, honest to God, it's
game over.
Look,
the way this offense is clicking again, Yuli, and don't blink your eyes and find out Altuve's over 290.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody worried about when he was at 230-something and he was coming off the injury. And we even said he doesn't even look right when he's running the bases. But then you look at, he's over 290. Yuli, hands down, American League Player of the Month.
Oh, no.
Just ripping the cover off of it. Correa, though he only had two hits this weekend, I mean, they were big hits.
Yep.
And so if he can, and defensively, though, some of the plays he made, when he went deep behind second base, spun in one motion, and still got the guy by like a step and a half, and you're like, man, that's what they were missing. He's rangy. He's got a cannon. Defensively, he makes them so much better that it's a really good time to be an Astros fan and be excited about the fact that all they got to do is get healthy, especially with the Yankees struggling with starting pitching and not a whole lot out there, to say, you know what? If nothing happens, and you still assume and hope that something does on the starting pitching market for the Astros, but even if nothing happens, they're in a pretty good position.
They're in a really good position, and the fact that Yordan Alvarez has almost 130 at bats,
yep,
in baseball, and his June and his July are pretty much identical. I mean, June, he was a little bit hotter, 7 home runs, 21 RBIs. He's hitting .348 in July. He's still got an OPS over 1 for the month.
Like, thank God we're in the American League, because I saw him play that ball off the wall, too. And I'm like, that DH position suits him so well.
Yeah. But now you see why people are like, oh, first base. Let me tell you what. You got to still be athletic. You still got to be able to.
Between the T and the H and the N, or the Houston. Or the, yeah. Yeah, or the A and the S, because otherwise you ain't getting it.
Yeah. Then this dude is an ideal candidate to be a DH. I mean, let's just be real. Yeah. That's what he is.
I mean, look, you thought Tyler White was bad at first base. I don't think this guy, based on when Yordan went to play that ball off the wall and it stayed low, I mean, it took him 2.5 seconds just to bend down. I'm like, nope, that's not going
to
work.
Nope. He's doing what he needs to do at DH.
Did you see the pictures of Tyler White, too, in a Dodgers uniform?
No.
Boy, I'd be mad at the equipment manager.
Did they give him a medium?
Oh, yeah. They got to find a uniform that fits that guy. I would have been like, nah, I'm just going to sit this one out. Give me a sweatshirt, because,
really?
Oh, it was awful. I saw a lot of people were wanting to, and I think a lot of people use better judgment. Take, were like, let's road. Not be mean.
Let's not body shame, yeah, Tyler White.
But, man, his first couple games in that Dodger uniform. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. Yeah. I didn't see it. I need to find a picture of it.
Yeah, I'll find it for you.
Not that I'm going to fat shame him. I just want to see it.
Of all people,
what?
Who was killing him on that the most out of everyone that you. Around here? No.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Creighton?
Yeah. Just had a field day with it.
Why do you bring that up?
No, I'm just saying. I just didn't. I mean, we kind of tried to take the high road. And
trying to say that Patrick is too fat to be making those jokes?
I would not say anything like that, but I'm like, Pat is going at him hard.
You're trying to
Palillo
say?
Palillo did, too.
People in fat houses shouldn't throw scones? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying, though. No? That's fantastic. Okay. Hold the butter? No. Jam? No, okay. All right. So with that being said, look, the listener appreciation party tickets are gone.
Yep.
We did that deal.
Congratulations to Joey,
yep,
our winner for today.
There you go.
You know what? You can be a winner too, though. Not tickets necessarily, but how about money? How about cash? You can get cash back, and that makes you a winner when you use GetUpside. Download that app right now. It's free. It's totally free for you to download and install, and it's easy. I did it while I was sitting at the gas pump. That's how simple it is to install. And get to using it, man. It's going to get you cash back when you pump gas and use the app, or you go out to eat and use the app. And there's over 100 restaurants that are in the app just here in the city of Houston where you can get up to 35% cash back. No lie. And I've seen places. I mean, we had listeners telling us, dude, there's a Wendy's by my house that's giving 35%. Could you imagine that? Take your buddies out, you treat, you buy. They don't have to know you're getting 35% cash back. Because look, you can do it when you're in the car by yourself. Once you get the receipt, you pay with a debit or credit card. You just take a picture of the receipt and upload it. And then within 24 hours, you're getting the cash back. And nobody has to know. Nobody's the wiser. Same goes if you drive a company car, if you drive a company van or a company truck, or you're responsible for filling up those cars and you're doing it on the company's dime, heck, use GetUpside and get cash back in your account for doing that. As long as you're paying with a debit card or credit card and uploading that receipt, it's fair game, and they don't care whose car it is. And you can get that with your with the GetUpside app, and only through the GetUpside app, because these businesses want your business, but you can only get the deals through GetUpside. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Get the app, and make sure you use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because it's going to get you a little bump in the cash back department on your first fill-up. That's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Get that cash back. GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. Hope that you are taking us along for the ride, enjoying everything in your day except for this heat.
It's cloudy, though, so let's probably cool it off a little bit.
You're like, what? So it's 101?
It ain't that bad.
With the humidity?
Last week was pretty comfortable.
Feels like temperatures, Barry, right now are in the low 100 to 105, but by evening tonight, it should cool off to about 97.
All things considered, it was pretty comfortable this past week. Saturday.
You caught that Chamber of Commerce weather early, yeah, which helped when you had the 2 or 3 days where the mornings were in the high 60s.
Saturday, I got out and did yard work.
Yeah, you did.
See that big ass blister?
Yeah.
Nobody cares about.
Man,
no
hands.
One has any listening has any idea that man that hands? Blister is on your left testicle. And there's no, no reason for you to ever pull out your junk for us again.
No, that's not. It's on the palm of my right hand.
You want to believe that
it's
that
on
was
the
from
palm
gardening.
Of my right hand, and let the record reflect I'm a lefty, if you know what I'm saying. Okay.
So how did that blister come about, sir?
Pulling weeds.
Oh, I bet you were hard.
I said weeds,
hard
not weed.
Hard fast, pulling weeds.
I wasn't pulling a weed.
I had relatives at the house.
So the way what happened is I have this little thing that's like weed puller.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a little thing.
You know
thing.
What? You shut up.
How do you get a blister
you're
if you have a weed puller?
It.
Because you, like, so I was get the trees. I have a bed around my trees. Two of them.
Just keep going. You're writing them yourself. You've got a bed around your trees.
You're so childish.
Keep going.
You're so childish. And so I've got mulch that I was going to put in there, but there were so many weeds, you got to pull the weeds. Well, it hasn't rained in days, and it was the dirt was just deadpan hard. Like, it was just, no. It was just, it was hard as a rock.
You don't wipe much?
It was so hard. And so I had to, like, so the weed puller will like, you know, pull the weeds up, but it I had to really poke it in there.
How dialed in are you right now, Nick?
So that's why the tool was causing my hand to blister up. You're so welcome.
Very well done.
I did all of that just for
you. I know you did.
I was like, how many euphemisms can I get into this?
Did you experience a lot of discharge?
I was like, his head's going to explode with all the things that I'm saying.
Well, yours evidently
right
did, and that's why you have blisters.
No!
Did you experience a lot of discharge, or was that just after the fact when it popped?
There was no, it was a little bit of discharge. Yeah. There was a little bit of swelling. So, yeah. That's a man hand right there. You wouldn't know nothing about that.
Okay, Kawhi. Whatever. Bob Nightingale of USA Today baseball coverage is tweeting out that the Astros will come away with one more starter by Wednesday, and two general managers predict it will be Zach Wheeler of the Mets. I ask you what I asked Barry during the break. Do you think that you'd have to give up either Whitley or Tucker to get Zach Wheeler? And you said
no.
I would agree with that.
I don't think that that's going to be. If Stroman got two guys outside of the top 100, Wheeler getting Tucker, who's a top 10 prospect, and Whitley, or sorry, Tucker's a top 20, Whitley is a top 10 in baseball. Right, and in the farm system,
not
they're
just
one
the
and
system,
two.
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
There's just no way. If they did that, Jeff Luhnow would be an absolute idiot. And Jeff Luhnow is not an idiot.
Right.
So I don't think there's any way. Now, you might see a guy like Bukauskas and Fisher, But those are also two very
high. What about Fromber? What about if you give him Fromber and Bukauskas?
I'm really not that high on Zach Wheeler like everybody else is.
Well, he's got a live arm. The thing that bothers me is he missed a start in some time recently with shoulder discomfort. That's the kind of thing you don't want. You go out and you make a move for a guy like this, and then you don't have access to him because he's fighting through an injury.
What do you think his career ERA is?
Oh, we're going to play this game.
I mean, I'm just saying.
We're going to play the numbers game that someone like you.
If you were going to guess.
430.
I mean, it's a 3.89.
Okay.
But you saying a 430 lets you know what you really think about the guy.
He's not top of my list either.
No.
If you're going to deal with the Mets, go get us Thor.
Yep, I'm with you. His strikeouts per nine aren't bad at almost 9 strikeouts. So he's basically striking out a guy an inning over his career. But there's nothing, I mean, it's not sexy to me. Now, the one thing that kind of stands out to me is the FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, is at a 3.77. And if you can get below a 4, that's a sign of a pretty decent pitcher. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of sexiness for me with Zach Wheeler. He's had 1 year, and that was last year where he went 12-7. Other than that, he had a 3-7 year, an 11-11 year, a 7-5 year. Nothing's real sexy. And 12-7 isn't all that great. I guess on a bad Mets team, it's okay.
If he did that with garters on, would it be sexy?
Okay. I don't.
A FIP?
Fielding independent pitching.
Now you're really nerding out on the
beat. Well, that's like it's a way to take fielding and errors and all that other stuff out of the equation. And if it was just the three true outcomes, what would his ERA be?
FIP if I know. I just know that I'm going to trade with the Mets, I would rather have yeah, a little bit.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Tony FIP.
No. Oh, no? My God.
He used to pitch for the Astros.
I'm just going to turn my mic off, let you punch yourself out.
Just go. Get them all out.
No.
Get them all out. Go.
Okay, so there for you, Astros baseball geeks waiting for a trade. There's the latest in terms of at least a rumor out there about who the Astros may be trying to acquire.
But Wheeler as a 4? As you know, if you're going to say Wheeler is going to be your 3 or your 4, maybe, and I would slot him behind Miley at this point. But if you're telling me that, yeah, that's your 4 going in and then Peacock would be your 5, it's not terrible, but it also, again, depends on what you give up for him. But, he probably...
I'm with you. And if you can prevent giving up Tucker and Whitley, and it's not too big of a package, then I'm fine with that. Because I still think they need a little help. And so if they can get that with a guy, and again, he fits the characteristics and the mold of what they want Brent Strom to work with. And that's somebody that's got a live arm that maybe hasn't been developed the right way early in his career that maybe they can do something with. If that's the case, and they can get him somewhat on the cheap, then I would be all for it.
Because
it is a pretty stale market in terms of what you're getting when you're looking for starters.
You don't make desperate moves.
A 1 or a 2 or an ace.
And absolutely. Wheeler is 1,000% a rental because he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So what
Wheeler
give up?
Is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you definitely don't have to give up.
What you give up for him is that's why I say you don't want to act desperate. If you just saw Stroman go for what he went for, mm-hmm. there's no reason to be desperate and give up a bona fide prospect for a guy like Zach Wheeler for 3 months. If Jeff Luhnow's coming out and telling us that, hey, as constructed, we could beat any team in a 7-game series in the playoffs, then you don't need to do something desperate and stupid and trade a potential prospect for a guy that's
probably going to bail. And you also have to decipher going between to bail. General managers speak and the
I
truth.
I get it. But
like you said,
this is the risk of coming out and saying that.
And as hot as they've been playing, though, you've got to believe that offensively you'd put them up against anybody. It's just now a matter of how strongly do you feel about this team's pitching. And again, if the Yankees are your biggest competition and they are struggling mightily with starters, you'll take it.
And here's who he compares to statistically. This is who he's clumped together with from a comparables perspective. Okay. Patrick Corbin, Dallas Keuchel, Nathan Eovaldi.
And it depends on which Eovaldi you're getting, but yeah.
Yeah, and Danny Duffy.
Nah.
And you know what his market value is on SpotTrack? $20.5 million a year. I'm not paying that for Zach Wheeler.
No.
So, I mean... That, to me, look, if you get him for, some dude nobody's ever paid attention to in the farm system, great. Great. But I just wouldn't go and invest a lot in this trade.
I'm with you, if that's the guy. Now, it's totally different if it's Syndergaard.
Oh, again, yeah, you're right. It's totally different because Syndergaard is an ace. He's a frontline starter. Zach Wheeler, to me, is not.
And is a guy that not only for this year, but because you'd have him next year, he fills in where if you lose Gerrit Cole, because we know the market on Gerrit Cole is going to be through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the guys that they still have to sign in the next couple of years, it kind of makes it difficult for the Astros to go and spend, especially at Verlander at 33 a year, to go out and say, well, I'm going to spend more than that on Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, and please stop texting in ridiculous trades for Stroman and Syndergaard. I'm mad at you for even throwing that out there.
You're welcome.
Because somebody said, what about Tucker, Whitley, and Tony Kemp for Stroman and Syndergaard? Bro,
it's not... put Correa in that deal.
No, this is another one. Why? Why would the Mets ever do that? That's not even like... That's irrational football trade guy,
too. But the good news is it's the Mets, so there's a chance.
Well, that's true.
They have done some stupid things, but I can't see them doing it.
No way that they do that deal. That's an irrational fan trade that doesn't make sense.
Absolutely right. Hey, 1 hour of the show coming up. 60 minutes on the clock. Clint Black and Trace Adkins tickets in the 3 o'clock hour. We give to you, the listeners, the suspects, who we love and appreciate the most. Back with the final 60 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.